Would you turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms? The first chapter of Psalms, Psalm 1. It's page 617 if you're using the Bible under the seat in front of you. We're going to sample some Psalms on Sunday mornings over the next several weeks. There are about 12 Psalms that I'd like to cover, and I might add to that. These are well-known psalms, psalms that have been especially important to me over the years. And so it's a great territory in the scripture, the book of Psalms, and we're going to start here in Psalm chapter 1. Father, we ask as we go to your word this morning that you would bless our time together. Lord, I thank you that there is so much variety in your word, doctrine, teaching, history, poetry, songs. Lord, you want to meet with each one of us intellectually, and you also want to meet with us emotionally. And we thank you for that. I pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you remember hymnals? When I was growing up, we went to several churches where they had hymnals. A hymnal essentially looks like a Bible, doesn't it? Only it has a bunch of hymns in it with sheet music and lyrics, and the worship leader would stand up and say, turn to hymn number so-and-so, and we'd all read out of our hymnals. We don't see a lot of that today because we put our lyrics up on the screen in most churches, but I still love those old hymns, don't you? Well, the book of Psalms is the hymnal of the Bible. There are 150 songs written over a 900-year time period, from Moses all the way to the days when the Jews came back from Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem. This is a hymn book that's written by the Old Testament saints. In fact, the main songwriter is King David. He wrote 90 of these psalms. He's called the sweet psalmist of Israel. You'll also find songs from Moses, Ezra, Solomon, many of the different worship leaders that would lead the music in the temple courts, like Asaph and the sons of Korah. And understand that these are actual songs. These are songs, these are poems that were put to music, put to melody. They were accompanied by skillful musicians. Choirs sang these songs. The Jews sang these songs in the courts of the temple when they'd gather for the feasts. They would sing these songs in their synagogues later. They would sing these songs as pilgrims traveling to Jerusalem. They would sing these songs as families in their homes. And there's something really beautiful about the book of Psalms that many Christians have cherished over the years. This book does touch on every single human emotion possible in the human experience. So joy, sorrow, fear, depression, anxiety, anger, triumph, defeat. So what's really neat about this book is you can be feeling a certain way and you can find a psalm that will give voice to how you feel. And you can read through it and pray through it. And it'll really help you. I'll tell you, psalms have helped me so much over the years. John Stott rightly says, the reason why Christian people are drawn to the Psalms is that they speak the universal language of the human soul. Whatever our spiritual mood may be, there is sure to be a psalm which reflects it. Now, there are many different categories of psalms. There's like 8, 9, 10 different categories. And we're going to sample from the different categories. There are praise and thanksgiving psalms. There are lamentation psalms. There are psalms that teach history. There are corporate worship songs. There are very special psalms called messianic psalms, which have a prophetic nature to them, and we'll look at a couple of those. And then there are many psalms that you call teaching or wisdom psalms. This is instruction put to music, which can be very, very effective, can't it? When you put something to a melody, it's easier to remember. That's why we teach our kids the ABC song, right? And that's why the commercials that you hear on TV and radio, you can't get them out of your mind, right? Think of all the silly jingles you know over the years. I got many. F-R-E-E, that spells free, creditreport.com, baby. I can't believe I have that in my brain. But I'm telling you, when you put instruction to music, something you can hum, it's very effective. Okay, so we're going to start with Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is a wisdom song. It's a teaching song. It's instruction. And it teaches us about the two ways to live. It's actually very clear. Let's read through it. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's very clear there are two ways to live, according to this psalm. There are two paths that you can take through life, according to this psalm. There's the way of the righteous, and then there's the way of the ungodly. And as strongly as I can exhort every single one of us here this morning, I exhort you to choose the way of the righteous. And if you're going to choose the way of the righteous, then there are some things that you need to avoid. There are some things that you need to reject. There are some things that you need to say no to. And you find that in verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you want to live the righteous way, do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or the wicked. In other words, don't take advice from wicked people. Don't choose to direct your life by worldly, wicked counsel. Say no to it. And let me say, worldly counsel is all around us, isn't it? It bombards us from all directions. It comes at you through magazines. books, movies, television shows, websites, online articles and blogs. It comes at you from professors at your university, teachers in your high school. It comes at you from peers, from family members. It'll even come at you from an extremely concerned and well-intentioned close friend. I'm even sad to report that a lot of worldly counsel can even come from some quote-unquote Christian churches today. What is the counsel of this world? Well, basically, this world tells you to do whatever you want to do. Live permissively, live for yourself, live for money, live for pleasure, do whatever feels good. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. Live for number one, live for yourself. The counsel of this world will say there's no God, you're not accountable to God, there's no life after. You don't have to worry about it. You weren't created. You evolved. By the way, we wonder why there's such a rise in suicide among our young people. Because they've been taught that they came from animals. You will be bombarded every single day by worldly counsel multiple times a day from every direction. You can't avoid that. But you can do this. Reject it. Don't walk in it. Say no to it. If you want to live the righteous way, verse 1 says, nor does this person stand in the path of sinners. Do not stand in the path of sinners. Literally, don't stand with sinners on their path. In other words, don't adopt the lifestyle of the sinners. Don't behave like the sinners. Don't live like sinners. Don't join yourself to sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Do not sit in the seat of the scornful. The scornful, those are the mockers, man. These are the people who hold nothing sacred. They mock faith. They make sport of God. They ridicule Christian morals. Don't sit with them in an intimate friendship. Reject that. Now, you notice the downward progression there, right? First you're walking, then you stand, and then you have a seat. Take care of it right there at step one. Don't walk in worldly counsel. And by the way, all of these verbs that you find in verse 1 in the Hebrew, they're perfect. Don't walk, don't stand, don't sit. It all speaks of a completed, settled conviction. If you want to live the way of the righteous, you've come to a settled conviction. I reject the world's counsel. I will not stand with sinners. And I will not sit in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2 tells us what we need to embrace. What we do need to receive. Verse 2, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. You want to live the righteous way? Delight yourself in the law of the Lord, which is another word for what? The scripture. Delight yourself in the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all of it. In other words, reject ungodly counsel and get your counsel from where? God's Word. Get your advice there. Get the direction for how you want to live. There, Build your life upon the precepts, the principles, the directions of God's word. Now, do you realize that there's a lot of great advice in the Bible? Do you know the Bible gives you counsel for everything that you might face in this life? Things like dating, marriage, career, finances, conflict resolution, communication, everything that you deal with day by day on a practical basis. You can find counsel from God's word. And the Bible has counsel for all matters of faith, spiritual truth, eternal life, all of it right here. Delight yourself in it. Study it, read it, go to churches that preach it. Fill your mind with it. It says, meditate on the law day and night. Meditate on the scripture day and night. Okay, so how do you do that? Does that mean you're reading your Bible all day? While you're driving? Hope not. No, it doesn't mean that. In fact, this word for meditate, it's interesting. It's a Hebrew word that literally means to mutter. To speak to yourself over and over and over and over again. The idea is you're pondering. You keep speaking God's word to yourself as you hide it in your heart. There's another Hebrew word for meditation in the Old Testament that speaks of what a cow does with grass. Now, let's not get too gross here. But what does a cow do? They take a bite of grass, they chew it, they swallow it. Later, they bring it right back up, chew on it some more, it goes down. Burp it back up, chew on it, and it goes back down. That's what we should do with Scripture. Study God's Word often. Put what you learn in your brain, in your heart, and ponder it all day long. Keep bringing it up. In other words, let the Bible be just a huge part of your life. In fact, the verb in verse 2, both verbs, are imperfect, meaning continuous. Keep on delighting. Keep on meditating. Keep putting it in there. Do you realize how important God's word is to us? Do you understand? I mean, that's the battle. What do you put in your brain? Where do you get your counsel? It's all about worldview. What kind of worldview do you have? How do you view the world? How do you view life? From the ungodly, wicked way, or from the biblical way? Did you know that the Bible teaches that as God's people, we should prefer God's word to food, to sleep, to wealth, and yes, even to friends? Because I'm telling you, man, if you get the scripture in your heart, in your brain, in your life, you're thinking upon it, you will live the righteous way. Okay, now if you do this, check out what you'll become. First of all, go back up to verse 1 again. It says, blessed is the man. You know how you could translate that? Happy is the man. And in the Hebrew, it's plural. So it speaks of multiplicity or intensity. The idea is, oh, how blessed is the man. Oh, how happy is the man. You'll be happy. Deeply happy in all of life. You know, people are looking for happiness, aren't they? It's wonderful to live in a country where we're allowed to pursue happiness. In fact, remember the opening words of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't that awesome that we live in a country where we can pursue happiness? But let me tell you, right here's the key to happiness. I mean, if you go out there and you do everything that this world has to offer, you might have a few good laughs, you might have some good times, you might have some temporary happiness. But man, when you walk with the Lord, you've struck gold. Living the righteous way. Oh, how happy. Oh, how blessed. And then look at verse 3. He shall become like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Think of that. If you do these things, if you choose the righteous way, you become like this solid tree with a root system that sinks deep down into living waters. You know, in the Bible, the tree is often used to speak of a kingdom, a government, a nation, this giant stable thing. It suggests strength, stability, beauty, shade, fruitfulness. You choose the way of righteousness, you will become a rock solid, stable, strong, healthy, vibrant human being. You will have a character about you, integrity. Your life will weather the storms of life, the winds of life. You will remain stable, you will have depth. You'll be a tree in your generation. You'll also become fruitful. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Okay, now what do trees do with the fruit that they produce? Do they eat their own fruit? No, other people come along and do what? They eat of it. In other words, you will be so blessed that you will become a blessing to others. You'll be fruitful. They'll come and eat. They'll find solace in your shade. You'll count. You'll be that mighty vessel of God that impacts your family and your friends and the place where you work. It says, whose leaf also shall not wither. The idea is it doesn't matter what season it is out in life, you're still green. D.L. Moody said, all the Lord's trees are evergreen. Says, and whatever he does shall prosper. The way of righteousness. Whatever you do will prosper. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to become a billionaire. That doesn't mean that you're going to get the Midas touch. What it means is that you will prosper in whatever you do because you will be doing whatever God wants you to do. And you will be doing it by God's resources according to God's counsel. And wherever you are in life, wherever God has placed you, whatever God has chosen for you, you will prosper. The way of righteousness. Look at verse 6. He says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Literally, that is, the Lord is knowing the way of the righteous. In other words, he's knowing every detail of your life. He's with you in every detail of your life. He's leading you. You belong to him. You've given your life to him. You want to follow him. You want to please him. You become a child in his family, and his eye never leaves you. The way of the righteous. Okay, what about the way of the ungodly? The contrast in this psalm is so strong and obvious. The ungodly person does the direct opposite of what the righteous person does. The ungodly person does not delight in the law of the Lord, has no time for the Bible or God or any kind of truth. The unrighteous, the ungodly, takes in all of the worldly advice, just takes it in and lives just like the sinner and sits right in the seat of the scornful. And according to this text, the ungodly will not be blessed, will not be happy. In fact, I believe a person who lives that way, they want to pretend that they've got it all together. They think they're happy. They may enjoy lots of things from this world, but deep down inside, they are not happy. And then look what it says in verse 4. This is very strong. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. This is hyperbole in the Hebrew. Literally, not so the ungodly, not so. Not so. The righteous are like the tree, not so the ungodly. They're like the chaff that is blown in the wind. You know, in those days when they would thresh the wheat, they had these threshing floors, and they would take grain and wheat up there, put it on. The animals would walk on it to break it down, and then they'd take like a fork, and they would take what's there, and they'd throw it way up, and the chaff would just blow away. And the grain, the solid, would come down. But chaff, it just blows away. Tree, chaff. Chaff. Again, you know, the ungodly, the wicked, they might have a few good laughs, a few good times, neat things that they got to try out in this life. But the wicked don't make any. They don't make any investments into the next life. They're chaff. Verse 5 says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Listen, if you belong to the Lord, he's with you this life, and the next life you get heaven. Not so with the ungodly, not so. They won't stand in the time of judgment. Sinners will not be joined with the righteous in the congregation of heaven. It won't happen. End of verse 6. But the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. By the way, notice how this psalm opens and closes. The very first word is blessed. Oh, how happy the righteous. Look at the last word. Perish. That's the ungodly. Choose the way of the righteous. Which path are you on? Which path have you chosen? Are you taking in just all of the counsel of this world? Or have you turned the corner on that, made a settled conviction and said, you know, I'm speaking to many of you as Christians. Are you developing a biblical worldview? Or even as a Christian, do you still buy all this worldly garbage and live for it? Jesus said a couple things that I'm reminded of as I read this psalm. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The rock, sand, the tree, chaff. Your choice will have consequences. Jesus also said in the Sermon on the Mount, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Listen, the way of the righteous is not the easiest path through life. You follow Christ, you will have many enemies in this world. You will struggle. There will be issues. But it certainly is the best way. Oh, how happy. Oh, how blessed. Which path have you chosen? Years ago, Billy Joel wrote a song entitled Only the Good Die Young. Listen to the lyrics of one of those stanzas. They say there's a heaven for those who will wait. Some say it's better, but I say it ain't. I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. You know, only the good die young. Worldly counsel? God's counsel. Are you with Billy Joel or King David? I'm with King David. And I exhort you with everything that I possibly can this morning, choose the right path. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, you have so much blessing for us, so much goodness for us. And as your people, I pray that we would choose daily to live according to your word, your counsel, your advice. Regardless of how it might even fly in the face of everything that screams at us day by day. Regardless of how supposed outdated and old-fashioned it's become in this modern day. Lord, we believe your word is true and it never changes from generation to generation. I pray that we would have a hunger for your word, that we would meditate on your word, that we would ponder your word, that we would obey your word, that your word would direct our lives. Make us fruitful. Plant us like trees in this community. And then, Lord, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who has not chosen yet to walk on that righteous path. Listen, heads bowed, eyes closed. Worldly counsel will tell you that there's no God, that you don't need a God, that you can live your own life. But the Bible tells you that there is a God who made you and loves you. And wants to bless you, not just in this life, but for all of eternity. The Bible says we've all fallen, though. We've all blown it. We've sinned. The Word of God will show you that, will teach you that. And that our sin separates us from God. And the Bible goes on to say how God provided a solution. He sent his Son, Jesus. who came and died on the cross for the sins of the world and rose again. And if you want to get on that righteous way, if you want to get on that path, then your first step is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To place your faith in Him, your sins will be forgiven. Become a member of His family. Have you done that? I'd invite you right now to do that. You say, well, how do I do that? Just through a simple prayer. Just a cry of the heart, really. Just a cry of the heart to God. If that's you, do it right now. You say, Lord, I want to be on the righteous way. I want on your path. I want to build my life on the rock. Wash all my sins away. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and rising again. Save me. Make me yours. And help me to follow you every day of my life. Bring beauty, bring stability, bring strength, bring fruitfulness, Lord, to my life. Amen.